Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is the Dale and Keith Show.
And the Bruins have forced a game seven that will be coming up on Wednesday night in Boston.
Dad would say, pop that clutch, Dale. Let's go.
Dale Arnold.
Yes, damn it. We are going to talk about the Bruins.
Rich Keith.
It's going to be like a train coming at you.
I'm riding this train till the wheels fall off.
The building's going to be incredible.
Don't count on the crowd. Don't count on the refs. Don't make excuses. Just do it.
Dale and Keith.
I just touched the microphone in my mouth.
Let's think about who's been sitting over there.
Oh, you just kissed Mutt.
Oh,
Mutt right there.
I'm going to throw up.
That is awful.
On the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Hour number three, Dale and Keith, Sports Radio WEEI. Our coverage of the Bruins and Stanley Cup Final on WEEI is brought to you by your New England Toyota dealers and Atlantic Power Cleaning. My buddy Andrew Raycroft is in the studio with us for an hour to break this down. Andrew?
Yeah, thanks for having me in before Keith Keys. That is going to be impossible for me to live up to, so I'm glad I got in before that.
Yeah, it's a good, strong lead-in. I like that.
So the very first question I asked Andrew when he came in the studio was, how do you feel about tonight? And you said...
I'm confident as you can be in a Game 7. You know, the best team, and they're at home, as the Bruins are, but it's Game 7, and it's hockey, and you know, you never know what happens.
So what I'm curious about is the Patrice Bergeron pregame or whenever it happened to be, that sort of motivational speech really impacted the guys. You heard Charlie McAvoy, Jake DeBrus, they all kind of talked about it. My question is, how do you duplicate that? How do you go back to that? Like, you used it, you needed it, your backs were against the wall, it was a must-win game six, but for game seven, you can't say the same stuff. In fact, I don't even know what you can say, so how do you follow that up?
I would expect that he's hoping Z steps up and is able to speak a little bit more.
He sounded more comfortable speaking yesterday. Saturday.
Like physically, he can't.
It was like Saturday. Yeah, it's like, better. Why are we doing this?
Yeah. So I think the guys will get extra quiet and let Z talk. Because it is hard to back it up.
Right.
I did a speech in 2010. We were down 3-1, and I was the backup goalie. I did absolutely nothing. All I did was this one speech in Chicago after game five.
Mm-hmm. How'd it go?
Before game five. Really good. We won. And there was a lot of pressure. The guys are giving me a hard time. Like, what are you going to say before game six?
Yeah,
I had nothing.
Exactly.
You have nothing.
Remember the stuff I said before? Yeah, I stand by it. It still counts.
And again, I'm not Patrice Bergeron, and it wasn't the same effect, I'm sure. But to your point, it's hard to back that up. Yeah. And I'm sure Patrice is going to let Z or someone else do the talking.
Well, does anybody else that would do that? Is there anybody besides those two?
Backus would. I don't know if he can if he's not playing.
That's a tough one.
I mean, he's a guy who would be vocal.
Yeah, or Krejci, you know.
He doesn't say a
lot.
He
doesn't, but he could, right?
He's got the cachet.
And then that's impactful, too.
That's right.
You're like
that's
a guy who doesn't say anything all year, and then all of a sudden, and he's been there, done that. It would probably have to be one of the guys that was on the 11 or 13 team. Like, it has to be.
Yeah.
Right? Somebody else, I think it's a little bit different. Although, I mean, who knows?
You've got the four guys who have played in the Stanley Cup final. Now, this is their third final. Chara, Bergeron, Marchand, Krejci. They all played in 11. Well, Rask didn't play. But
not in 11, but he's on the team.
And he played
in 13.
You know, 13, and now... So you've got all those guys with Stanley Cup final experience. Game 7 experience, the Bruins roster combined has played in 78 Game 7s. The Blues roster combined has played in 40 Game 7s. Now, I'm not sure what that matters, you know, especially when it's a Game 7 to win a cup. But it seems as though the experience factor has to count for something.
It does until the puck drops. I think once the puck drops, it goes out the window. I think Coach Cassidy talked about that the other day and just how the lead up, especially a Game 7 Stanley Cup Finals. I mean, there's so many ticket requests. There's so many people asking to come stay at the house. There's so many variables that are happening outside of the rink for these guys at this time of year. And to have gone through it before and to know exactly what works and what doesn't, and to be able to pass that on to the younger guys who are less mature and have more people hanging around than a family guy like Z, is really beneficial coming into a game seven and to get rid of the distractions and what's a good distraction, what's a bad distraction. So in that respect, I think that experience is a big deal. Once the puck drops, the experience can help when things go bad, when there's a mistake made, when there's a penalty called. All right, we feel okay about this, but it's not verbal. It can't really be communicated. You just have it as a player per man.
The one thing that stands out about St. Louis is they've bounced back well from losses, and not just in this series. I mean, we've seen it firsthand in this series, but even throughout the playoff run, it looks like Binnington maybe finally is cracked. It is not the guy that has helped get them there. And then comes right back the next game. And like, so that's one of the reasons why I'm not more confident in the Bruins tonight, is because the Blues did not play very well. I mean, part of that was how good Tuukka was in game six, but that was not their best performance. But they don't seem to string those together very often.
I agree 100%. I felt extremely confident in game four. I'm like, okay, yeah, right. The code's cracked. This is it. You know, right. That was it. And then they reel off two quick ones and you're like, whoa, how did the Blues pull that off? So I agree in that point. They've proven that they can bounce back. They've proven they're in a fantastic road team. You know, they're looking to get that 10th road win, which has only happened a few times in the history. So they're a road team that knows how to win on the road and bounce back. So that is, you know, a good reason not to be 100% confident going into.
Why do you think that is about they're so good on the road? Is it just like, do they feel pressure at home, or? Because it's enough of a sample size where it's a thing. Like, they are better on the road than they are at home.
No question. It's just their style of play. I actually looked up this morning the teams that had won 10 games on the road in the playoffs. It was the LA Kings in 2012 that play like these guys. Big, heavy team. Mm-hmm. New Jersey Devils twice. And Calgary in 04, which is a big, heavy team at that time, too. So these big, heavy teams that play physical, play simple games.
Well, he's bringing stats
do
in.
Do well like that. On
Prep.
The road.
That sounds like a key.
Wow.
That sounds like a key. I mean, they're not all positive for the Bruins, keys. That's a good one.
Are the Blues a dirty team?
They're right on the edge. For 2018, yes.
This 100%. This team.
Yes, 100%. Right. Yeah.
And they're going to be dirty tonight. In fact, they're going to be dirtier tonight than they've been. I mean, Craig Berube said he thought in game six they were a little hesitant because they didn't want to get suspended. Well, go ahead, suspend me next October.
Yeah, I think Coach Berube is getting the guys going a little bit. I think they didn't do a very good job on the forecheck in game six, whether that's the Bruins moving the puck better, skating better, moving the puck. You know, I thought the Bruins made a few adjustments in their zone, getting the puck out in game six. But certainly, Berube wants them to be extremely physical and play as close to that edge as he can and try and get away with as much as you can. I know everyone's talking about the refs and how they're going to call the game. That's going to be very important how the game plays out once they figure out what the refs are going to call and not call.
Yeah, because I wonder, you're putting so much pressure on them because they don't want to be the story. The refs don't, but they may have to be at times. And then the other part, I guess, would be, so for the Bruins, and they've already done it now six straight games against this same team, and there's been headshots, and there's been, you know, slew foots.
There's been
all this stuff. So how do you stay focused on what you're doing? And not even just the retaliation part of it, but when you're skating into a corner, say, you know what, I'm probably going to get hit in the head, but I still have to go in there and get the puck. How tough is that?
I mean, it can be tough, and that's why the Blues are where they're at and have been able to win series, because they play a tough game, and I think to a point they've gotten to some of the team's heads. I think the Bruins are, you know, it's game seven. You know, you're putting it all on the line for the Stanley Cup, and, you know, they have, you know, they played a complete game in game six, and there was no question that the Blues were going to try and run them and play their physical game in game six. I think they have to move their feet. Obviously, if Grizzly gets in the lineup, they have a little bit more speed back there with him. And they just have to move the puck, move their feet, and play their game.
He's the guy that concerns me the most tonight. They've taken shots at Chara with the broken jaw. Shen punched him in the jaw the other night. I understand they're going to do that. It's kind of hard to hit him up high. You got to really work at it. Grizzly's going to be easier.
He's 5'9".
And they have already taken him out of most of this series with a cheap shot. He's the guy I expect. Sundqvist, Barbashev, somebody's going to try to drill him.
Yeah, no question. There's going to be a target there. But, you know, going back to it, as a coach, as Cassidy making that decision to put him in the lineup or not put him in the lineup, he gets all the information from the medical staff, from the doctors. They're saying he's ready to go. He can play no matter what. So as a coach, you can't be worrying about, oh, you know, do I have to dress three goalies because Tuukka might get run tonight and we need another guy. You know, you can't worry about that when you're making lineup changes. You have to think about, okay, who's going to give me the best chance to win? What lineup gives me the best chance to win? And the reality is Grizzlick's a top 5-6 defenseman mm-hmm. on this team. He's been that all year. He helps the power play on the second unit. He helps move the puck, which they want to do as well as they can to get around that physicality. So, you know, of course you have that slight concern, but it's not like in game five where they don't know what Chara is going to give you, so they have to dress 7D. That was the reason. I think they would have rather had Kuhlman in on the forward line and played six defensemen, but the reality is they had a 42-year-old guy with a broken jaw. They just couldn't afford to do that, whereas they think Grizzlick's been skating for a week now. The medical staff is certainly giving him the green light, and the coaches can only go off of that.
So is that what you would do? Because that's my only fear, is that he get hit. Like, he's obviously a better player than Clifton is, but I'm just afraid of him getting popped, and then they're down to five defensemen, which has been a problem for him in two of the losses. But we know that he's cleared, so is this the lineup change that you would make if you were running things?
I've gone back and forth, not because of the physicality part, just because he hasn't played in 2 weeks. And the unit did such a great job in game six. But the reality is, when you think about it, would I put the best lineup in that I have for game seven, all the guys that I have? I think you'd rather do that than keep one of your best defensemen on the sidelines for game seven just because he hasn't played for 2 weeks and have to think about that all summer if it doesn't go your way.
We talked about Chris Wagner earlier, another guy who's been battling to try to get back in the lineup. Doesn't look like it's going to happen tonight. The fourth line has been so effective. I wouldn't mess with it either if I was Bruce Cassidy. But a lot of observers out there, people on the text line, people on Twitter, people calling the station say, get Danton Heinen the hell out of there. He's not doing anything for you.
Yeah, it's not quite 100% correct. You know, the third line's arguably been the best line, certainly in the final, let alone all playoffs. And Heinen's been a big part of that. He doesn't go and crush guys in the corners. He doesn't, you know, do anything too flashy, but he's always on the puck. He does a good job with Coyle and Johansson. So, Johansson, I apologize. So to put Wagner in after not playing any of the Stanley Cup final is, you know, to take a guy like Heinen out doesn't really work for me.
Do you guys think that if nobody on the top line scores, they can still win?
Yes.
Because they've done it throughout the playoffs, but I just wonder.
It would be a lot easier.
Yeah, I mean, the number with Brad Marchand scoring is what, they're 25-1 in the playoffs?
Yeah. Like, that which is nuts.
It's a ridiculous stat. Yeah. But so you feel like, all right, if they do score, you feel great about it. But I feel like they're deep enough, and we've seen other games where, all right, it's Coyle, it's Corrali, it's really not the second line, but it's the third and the fourth line, maybe even a defenseman stepping up or something. So it's not ideal, but I do feel like they can still win.
Yeah, they can still win if they don't score. I'm not sure if they can win if they lay an egg.
Saying
if they don't get the puck out of their zone, if they don't create offense, if they don't get momentum to create offensive faceoffs for Krejci to come out, if Krejci's always coming over the boards, you know, when there's a 3-on-2 coming back down in the defensive end, because they didn't get the puck in deep. If they're turning the puck over at the blue lines, those situations, I think it makes it a lot harder to win if the first line's doing that. But if they just play their game and for whatever reason hit three posts and don't get a goal, that doesn't affect them.
In 2013, Tuukka Rask was really, really good for the Bruins. I mean, really good. Up until two goals in 17 seconds in Game 6 against the Chicago Blackhawks, which were not all his fault, but you know, you lived it. Goalies get the blame. He's been better this year than he was that year.
He was, or he is. Yeah. And, you know, it comes down to, he's been defined up until this point for those 17 seconds, which, again, it wasn't like he gave up goals from the red line in the 17 seconds. They were broken plays behind the net, and those things happen. So there's no question Tuukka's been the MVP for the Bruins up until now. He's just been fantastic in the way he's played, the way his demeanor's. He's been a leader for the team. The team's rolled out behind him and believed in him, you know, giving them a chance to win in all 23 games.
Has he been better than Tim Thomas to this point?
Front to back, I would say so.
Yeah.
You know, I think, you know, I think from the what argument, I remember, like Tim, he struggled in the first round against Montreal.
It was like the last two series.
But the final series. Yeah. In Tuukka's defense, I mean, Tim played the Vancouver Canucks. Again, I pointed out, like, I was on that team a year before.
Yeah.
The Sedin twins Kessler, Burrows, they were loaded up front.
They played better teams then. Like, so Tuukka's, because that's the best argument for the Thomas is still better faction, is because Tuukka's numbers are better, right? Like, the goals against right now, we'll see what happens tonight, is better. The save percentage is better. But the Carolina Hurricanes, you know, the Blues, you look at some of the teams they have faced compared to who Tim Thomas had to face, like, that's a big difference.
It is a big difference. Tuukka couldn't do anything about that. You know,
right.
He can't change those teams. But that's why it might look different if you look at the highlights and the flashy saves, because it was Tampa and it was Vancouver, two offensive-minded teams that, and you look at it, the Bruins were the St. Louis Blues.
Yeah, they kind of were.
Of 2011.
They pounded
Sydney. Well, no, up until game six. Up until game six. They were more defensive minded, and they were physical, and they beat up on those teams. Going back to Tim Thomas, he was the one making those, you know, the wild saves, where Tuukka's been just steady Eddie, and his numbers are better to this point. And
it would be a good argument. Like, I mean, he has to win, though, because unfortunately, they could lose 1-0 tonight. And so Tuukka's goals against could be fantastic. But still, Thomas will be better just because he's got the cup.
I'll get a pretty good indication of how the Bruins are going to play tonight just based on shooting the puck in the first period. In game six, it was take the puck to the net, get it to the net. You know, Binnington gives up a lot of rebounds. Those are your best opportunities. If I see them try to do the extra pass and try to slip it across,
no shots on goal. Was it 2 games ago, whatever it was, or 3 games ago? No shots on goal.
Shoot the puck. Yeah. If they do that in the first period, I'll feel very confident about their chances.
100%. And yes, they're getting pucks on net. They're shooting pucks on net. And what it does is it gets the puck deep. They're not making a play and turning it over at the blue line or at the hash marks and allowing the Blues to create a little bit of offense off that. Because we've seen the Blues can't create 200 feet of offense. You know, they can get they move the puck up well, they get it to the red line, they dump it in, and they forecheck well. But they can't get good, great offensive chances unless the Bruins are giving them those at the blue lines or at the top of the circles with turnovers. So get the puck in, get it on Binnington.
And because obviously scoring first, it goes without saying, is important, but much more important for the Blues, right? Like, just the way they play, I feel like the Bruins, we've even seen it in the series, they can get down one, and also just being at home, you get some momentum, you get a few shots, even if you're not scoring, you can swing the momentum back in your favor. And then they have a kind of attack where I think they could put up 2-3 goals in 3 minutes, whereas the Blues, I don't really see that with. So if they get down 1-0, 2-0, the game might be over, whereas the flip side, Bruins could come back.
Yeah, that's where the confidence levels, you know, goes up a notch or two for the Bruins, because if the Bruins give up a puck or give up a shot or a goal, that goes off someone's head in front of the net, they can bounce back from that. Where if the Blues give up one of those, it is so much harder. It's so much more of an uphill battle if they give up some random fluke goal 7 minutes into the game. So certainly that can give Bruins fans a little bit more confidence, because I think the Bruins can bounce back from a random goal.
Yeah.
Jordan Binnington has got 15 Stanley Cup playoff wins. So obviously, you know, he's done a lot of things right. But in the 6 games that you've seen so far, do you think he's been very good?
He's been good enough to get 3 wins. And I would say that right from, you know, even the San Jose series, I watched him, like, you know, he's not doing anything, you know, it's not lights out. It's not completely lights out, and it hasn't been. He had a .913 save percentage coming into the finals compared to a .938 of Tuukka. That's a lot of goals. You know, that's a big difference, that, you know, 0.2 of a percentage. So, but he has the heartbeat of the team. Again, he's a leader. The guys respond to him bouncing back. I think, you know, as teammates and guys, players, you look to that as much as anything else. So technically, physically, no, I don't think he's been lights out by any means. But at the same time, they're playing game 7.
You goaltenders are weird anyway.
Yeah.
But he's a wackadoodle. this stuff with taking shots at Tuukka when they cross at center ice during TV breaks, what is he doing?
No, it is bananas, and he did it in the Dallas. Like, he's done it all the way through. Yeah. This isn't, you know, and it's interesting that he's kind of gotten away with it a little bit. It's an interesting
take. Now, the last game, Krejci and somebody else,
Krug, maybe,
they jumped right in there, and they're sticking him away.
And you saw Marchand take the, you know, trip him a little bit a few games ago. And so certainly they're trying to get into him, but I think he also has that. It seems like he has that personality where he's digging that a little bit himself. So again, you talk about personality of the team and the coaching staff that Binnington fits.
Yeah. Earlier in the series, I felt like he was giving up a ton of five-hole goals. Like, it was nonstop, and I think he's sort of taken that away. As a goalie, how does that work? If you allow, whether it's five-hole or something else kind of consistently, do you then overcompensate, and then now you're like, I'm not getting beat this way, but then all of a sudden now there's other areas to beat you?
Yeah, I mean, you can. You don't want to, because it usually turns out not well.
I was going to say, that can really just snowball on
you. Yeah, it can, and you start thinking of, you know, a couple series I was in where, you know, you're getting beat blocker. Even a simple thing like a coach saying, hey, they're shooting, we watched the tape last night, they're shooting blocker all the time. Even if you didn't give up a goal the whole time, you're like, oh, geez, that's the last thing I want to hear. So the five-hole stuff, but guys are making adjustments. There's so much video now that it's so much easier to break that down. And of all places for guys to shoot, the easiest place for a goalie to kind of lock down is five-hole.
Right. And I feel like because they scored like three goals five-hole on them. And then some of the goals that they had after that were like five-hole saves that he made, but like big rebounds. And I felt like that was sort of a thing for the last couple of games in a row.
Do you expect the Blues will run Tuukka tonight?
They're going to go to the front of the net.
Oh, stop putting too fine a point on it.
No,
they've run him like three times.
No, I know they have. They're going to go to the net. My point is to that, my backing off a little bit, is that they can't afford to take penalties in game seven. So, you know, I know they want to be physical. I know they want to play right on the edge, but they can't afford to take a penalty by running Tuukka and going down 1-0. As much as, you know, up until this point, they've been able to say there's going to be another game and we want to set the tone for that next game. However that way they want to do it, there is no next game here, and they can't afford to go over the edge by running Tuukka and putting him through the back of the goal for a 2-minute power play.
Because does that really ever work? I mean, with the outside shot of him getting hurt, like if when you've been run, are you like, oh man, I'm not as focused anymore?
No.
Right?
No.
Like that doesn't happen. No, no. So it's almost like it seems kind of pointless. I know, and there was some talk even here about it after the first three games against Columbus, because Bobrovsky was so good. You're like, well, how do you get this guy off his spot? And you're like, well, maybe you kind of take a run at him. And you're like, what does that really do, though? Because don't you just kind of pick yourself up, kind of laugh at him, and then just keep playing? I feel like that's what Tuukka's been doing.
Yeah, unless they hurt him.
Yeah, on the outside chain. Yeah, unless they take him out. But again, I think more taking, you know, making it harder for Tuukka tonight is them just being in front of the net all the time. Whether they're taking a little bit of space or bumping them on a point pass to pass, you know, cross ice pass or from low to high and bumping them that way. Mm. Those are the kinds of things that are going to take him off his game tonight rather than a full blown, you know, Donnybrook and take him out from the blue line. That works in games one and two when you're trying to set the tone again for the series. Come game seven, they have to be careful with that because they can't go down 1-0 like we've talked about.
Zdeno Chara will play his third game tonight with a broken jaw. His first game, he looked a little tentative, and who the hell could blame him? I thought he was dramatically better in his second game with a broken jaw. I expect he'll be better again tonight.
I would suspect too. I mean, obviously he has nothing to save it for now. I think after initially breaking your jaw, he probably didn't have anything to eat. He probably could barely get water into his body. So that has, you know, especially for Big Z, I mean, you know about his nutritional habits, you know about, you know, and just the fact he's 7'8" and 500 pounds, he needs to get energy in his body. So I'm sure that had something to do with it in game five. I'm sure it's gotten better. He's been able to take the shakes a little better, and I'm sure he will not be tentative in any way whatsoever.
Andrew Raycroft is in the house with us. We'll get right back to your calls coming up next. 617-779-7937 is the telephone number. It is your final opportunity during our program. There will be another chance later, but your final opportunity during our program to qualify for the possibility of winning two tickets for tonight's game 7 at the Garden. That's coming up in just...
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Few minutes.
I believe we'll be the 50-win team that we saw all year. We're not going to allow one game to define us.
The boy scores! They score! Save by score! Carlo!
And Bergeron punctuates it. The Bruins make the Stanley Cup road go over the spoked B.
Captain scores!
Backhanded one. Covered by Tuukka Rask.
The Boston Bruins have got
gotten to the Eastern Conference Final for the first time since 2013. Score! Tip by Pastrnak!
It's always these three guys that step up in a big way.
Pastrnak, he scores!
You get to the end of the toothpaste, you can always squeeze a little bit more.
Score!
Is there anything left for this team to squeeze?
The Bruins have taken the Hurricanes' will to win.
After you have a poop sandwich, a little toothpaste goes a long way.
Oh, that's Tuukka Rask has a shutout. 4-0 the sweep by his team.
I want to say mirrored images, but pretty darn close. I look at the back end for both of these teams to be the difference in this series.
Pastrnak, he scores!
He scores!
He's hurt.
Oh, it went off his own stick, and it came up and it got him right in the face.
On the bench, in his 21st season, from Tennessee, Slovakia, number 33, Zdeno Chara!
And you can bring out the Zamboni. The St. Louis Blues have won game 5.
And the Bruins have forced a game 7.
Drop the puck.
Woo!
Game 7 tonight.
Are you ready
tonight?
To go, Dale? Oh, are God, you ready? Please. You amped yet?
We were just talking.
Fired up
we
yet?
Were just talking. Andrew says, you going over? I said, yes, as soon as I get off the air. Yeah. I'm going to the Garden. Well, first I have to go to the Fours. I have a pregame.
Oh, wow, look at you.
No,
what have you got going
like,
on now?
Not like
a,
that.
A book signing?
No, I now have this. It's worked in the playoffs, so I can't change it. I go have a bowl of chowder.
Oh, really?
Before the game.
Where at?
At the Fours.
Pay attention to the
show. Don't be afraid to listen to the program.
Seconds, Rossi.
Sorry, I had a little Monster energy drink, just a sip, and my brain is spinning.
I thought it was time to kick it up a notch. I went Monster drink. I went Monster energy
look at
drink.
You.
It's a game 7. It's going to be a long day, long night.
And what did you pour into that?
None of your business, Dan. None of your business. Not much.
So a couple of game 7 notes for tonight.
Yes.
Zdeno Chara will set the National Hockey League record tonight. He will be playing in his 14th career game 7. That's the most in NHL history.
That's incredible.
His teams are 6-7. In the 13 previous. Now, a couple of those were with the Ottawa Senators.
I was going to say, I think two of the losses, I want to say, yes. were with Ottawa. So he does have a winning record in Boston in Game 7.
Yes.
You got to spin these things positive on the Game 7 day.
This is the 17th lifetime Game 7 to decide the Stanley Cup. 17th time a Game 7 decides the Cup. In the previous 16, the home team is 12-4. And I've heard Tuukka and other guys say over the last couple of days, you play the entire season for home ice advantage, and you play that entire season for tonight, right, Andrew? Home ice tonight.
You always want to play Game 7 at home, if you have a choice.
Even if you're St. Louis?
Even if you're St. Louis.
I was going to say, I don't know.
Even if you're St. Louis, you'd rather be at home right now. Just for the, again, once the puck drops, it doesn't matter, but up until now, you have this feeling that you're the underdog, and most of the time, you'd rather be the team that is the favorite.
Can fans have an impact on the game? I know they like to think that they can, and I think it's a cool story, and I love when the place is crazy, but does it really impact? Like, do players hear it? Does it affect them at all?
I think when you get to this point, you
it
know
right?
it's going to be so
it's
loud.
Be loud.
You know, like,
yeah.
no matter whether,
yeah.
you know, how many more decibels louder does it
at
take
that point,
to make
yeah.
it, you know, it's
That's
just going to be nuts. So either way, it's just going to be bananas.
I mean, mm-hmm. I do think that there's a certain energy level, you know, to start the game. Now, it doesn't carry you through the entire 60 minutes or anything, but there's a certain energy level. The whole fan banner captain thing, the way they've set it up there, their pregame presentation is really strong. I don't know who the fan banner captain is going to be tonight because I'm hearing it ain't Tom Brady.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like. No Tom Brady.
And it ain't David Ortiz.
No.
So, you know, I don't know who they're going to trot out there. I don't know what they're going to do.
I don't know who it's going to be. It's going to be just Bobby Orr again.
For the third
keep
time.
Running Bobby
bring
up.
Him back out yeah. there. Bobby says, really? You can't just let me watch a game?
Nope, you got to come out here.
I mean, I do think that the energy level. I mean, the other night when Zdeno got introduced,
I was awesome.
Playing his first game back, game 5, his first game back with a broken jaw, and he's just standing there, stoic, and the camera's, you know, skating around him, and that's as loud as I can hear that place.
And that's a good example, though, because the crowd was nuts, and the Bruins played well, but what was it, 0-0 after the first period? You know, so it was like St. Louis was there, it was loud for them, too, and they just sort of withstood it. I feel like Binnington is either going to have it or he's not, whether it's loud, quiet, somewhere in between, right?
Yeah, that's right. If the building was empty, it's the same thing. Yeah. But no question, you know, the energy, you know, whether it's a big hit, whether it's, you know, a power play, all of those things, you would rather have people cheering for you than it being completely quiet. all of that being said, it's game seven, and these guys would legitimately play this in an empty building and go nuts.
I don't want to be negative, and I'm not negative.
But it's that you're setting us up here with this.
No, because there have been some thoughts about, you know, you're in the seventh game of the Stanley Cup Final. That should be good enough for anybody. It's not.
No, not.
If you lose tonight, this is a failure.
It is. And because of the opponent, too. It's just the Western Conference was down all year long, right? Like, it just was. Like, the best team in the West was probably Calgary, or you're looking around, you're saying, but it wasn't Tampa Bay. And then even Boston, Toronto, Washington, like, those teams seem to be more legitimate contenders. And so once they got out of the East, well, honestly, once Tampa Bay went out, all eyes were on Boston. And now you have St. Louis, who was in last place in January. They had a 99-point regular season. This isn't 2011 Vancouver or certainly 2013 Chicago, where that was awful, awful. But that's a team that won three cups. Patrick Kane, Jonathan Toews, like, that team was loaded. St. Louis doesn't have that. They don't seem like they belong in the recent run of cup winners.
No, they're not going to be a, you know, I can't imagine them being a dynasty.
Right.
No,
like,
this isn't the start
team
of a dynasty like Chicago, you know, or at, like, what L.A. was, you know, 10
LA,
years ago.
L.A., even like Pittsburgh went back to back.
And
like
Pittsburgh 2 years ago.
Yeah.
So yeah, no, but you get to game seven again, home ice. It's you're the favorite, and it for this group, they would consider it a failure, I think, and not in the big sense of, like, you know, we're the worst players team ever. It's just we just let up a big opportunity to solidify legacies both in the city and in the league for forever.
Both Brad Marchand and Patrice Bergeron over the last week or so have said, in their own separate words, have said, I think more about losing to the Chicago Blackhawks than I think about beating the Vancouver Canucks. That feeling, which they do not want to have repeated, that drives them more than the possibility of winning.
Yeah, and that's probably, as much as anything, the failure part, if they don't win tonight, comes from 2013. If those cups had been reversed, you know, 11 they lost and 13 they won, it would be maybe a little bit different feeling. But to lose two in a row at such a close margin for this group who have been so good and historic almost, you know, especially a guy like Bergeron and Chara, those guys are moving up the all-time lists of the respective positions quickly. All time. I mean, history of the NHL. So two cups in their pockets, you know, moves them up that much.
Yeah, that is significant when you think about that. And I like that part of it, too, is sort of the legacy. Like, for Tuukka, we're talking about, Tuukka needs to win this cup, and then you can compare him favorably to Tim Thomas and all of that. And obviously, he's not even done. But for those guys, Bergeron and Chara in particular, but even Marchand, if you want to throw him in there, and how good he has been as even a regular season player recently, it's a small group of players who have won the cup, and then it's an even smaller group of guys who have won multiple cups, and now they're in that mix. You're talking about, you know, Crosby and Kane and all of these guys, and, you know, even the Kings, those guys, they're on that list. And no team is really, if you look back since, like, say, the lockout, no team has just run away with it as this is the dynasty, this is the team. Like, you look at Chicago has now fallen on hard times. So the Bruins would be
Pittsburgh
right on that short
was
list.
Right there, you know,
they
as,
were,
a,
yeah.
as a team you'd consider a dynasty.
They probably, them and Chicago are the two closest things to it, and the Kings were good. But now you're talking about, all right, who has won multiple cups? And then you throw in the fact that they went to one and lost. Like, I'll give them credit for that now,
right?
If you win two, you're also in another one. Like, that separates you from some of the other teams. But, yeah, there's a lot on the line here tonight, because if you lose, well, now you're the guy that won one and lost two, and it's now
it's
starting to work against you a little bit.
Yeah, it's like LeBron James.
Right. Like, well, wait a minute. Yeah, your record in the finals isn't very good.
Whoa.
Are you concerned about the officiating tonight?
No, those guys are great. Rooney and Dwyer, they're great. They're going to do...
And ironically, in the three games they've worked, St. Louis has had more power play tries than the Bruins have.
Yeah.
And yet, you didn't sit... And look, I'm not trying to make it sound like I agree with every call. The interference penalty against Chara in Game 6 was a joke.
Yep.
But you didn't sit there going, what the hell is that?
Yeah, they can't get... They're not going to be perfect. You know, these guys aren't going to be perfect. The game's too fast. But they're going to make the tough call. And that's really all you ask of these guys, whether or not they put their hand up or not in when the call needs to be made, the proper call, and in the right situation. So no, I don't have a problem. I think... You know, they've done a lot of talk in the last 2 weeks. The referees, they know what's at stake. You know, the league knows what's at stake. The Steve Wacom, head of officiating, knows what's at stake. These guys have prepared as much as the teams have in the last 2 days, and they've gone over video and they know what to expect and where to be on the ice for these teams. So I don't have a. I'm not concerned about that. I think they're going to do the right job.
There have been three instances in this just this series alone where 5-minute majors should have been called against the St. Louis Blues. None were called. In fact, on two of them, there wasn't even a minor penalty called. Do they throw a 5-minute major out there tonight?
No, I mean, what's the betting line on that?
Yeah, boy, Sean, find that. Sean, pull that one up for us. I don't think they do
that's
either.
That's a lottery. No, there's something that needs to be extremely egregious and obvious for them to call a 5-minute major in a game seven. Again, I think they've backed off these 5-minute majors and allowed the suspension to come into play because of what happened in game seven, San Jose, Vegas. That crushed.
Which scared them to death.
To call that 5-minute major instead of a 4-minute, like even if it's a double minor, that could be called. A double minor could be called, and that's not going to crush you. A 5-minute major in a game seven, especially it would have to be so bad.
I was going to say, I feel like the Bruins would actually be able to kill it off the way things have gone, right? But the Blues, you're talking about.
Yeah, they could give up seven.
They might. Right. The Bruins have been so locked in on the power play.
617-779-7937. We've got one more segment with Andrew Raycroft, Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
WEEI. Gotta trot that baby out tonight just to get everybody cranked up.
I love this.
See, it's catching on, dude. Well, it's taking the city by storm.
Well, or at least this program. Darren Revelle tweeted out a pair of tickets on the glass tonight for Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Final in Boston. Just sold on StubHub, including fees, for $18,567.50.
Shine, looks like you're going to the game, huh? I didn't realize you bought tickets. It's pretty good.
It's the biggest per-seat sale, $9,284 so far for this game.
Well, because what was the report? Wasn't there some that were $30,000? So those are just sitting there, probably. But so somebody spent over $9,000 per seat. Seems a little high.
Somebody did on StubHub.
I want to go to the game too. Yeah. What are we doing here? It's a bit much.
Well, as we said
earlier, they win.
They have said this is now the most expensive ticket in Boston sports history. I mean, the last time they played a Game 7 in Boston was 1984. The economy was a little different back then. You know, there aren't a lot of Game 7s here. The Red Sox won a World Series here, but again, economy was different.
Yeah, you might have been able to buy a condo for $18,000 downtown in Back Bay in 1984.
Well, I think the Red Sox had 2004, had they been able to clinch at home, I think would have been the most
expensive. That would have been the one.
Because that's the thing is, none of these teams are experiencing a huge drought. Like, that's why I'm surprised. Like, obviously you want to go see the game, and obviously you're supporting the team, and I get all of that. But for it to be the most expensive ticket ever, the Bruins haven't won in 8 years. Like, whoa. like the last team hasn't won in months. Like, we've seen a lot of championship teams, so it's good to see that the people are that fired up about it still.
Well, they are.
Yeah.
617-779-7937. Dennis on the cell phone. Hey, Dennis.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good. What's up?
Good. Not a thing. You know, Dale, I've often heard you talk about Game 7, 2011, Tampa Bay Lightning, 1-0 victory, 0 penalties. Was that one of the best games ever watched?
It's the best game I've ever seen.
I think I can agree with you on that. That was so much fun to watch that game. I mean, I know it's 8 years ago, and you know, we're probably not going to see that tonight because I think these guys are a bunch of thugs from St. Louis, and they've gotten away with more things. You know, it's pretty ridiculous. The Rays, you know, I just heard you say they weren't going to blow the whistle. You think they'll swallow the whistle unless it's outrageous. Don't you think those first three were outrageous?
No, no.
You know what I mean? Not
to the point of a Game 7 outrageous five-minute major. I mean, that a five-minute major, if they call one of these, they go down in history as the refs that called the five-minute major.
But what if they pass on one that is clear and it's right in front of everybody?
I think what will happen is a minor penalty, a night where it's normally a minor penalty is no longer a penalty, and what would be a major penalty is a double minor.
And
like
again,
that's probably what you see.
We're talking about a major penalty. Like, it doesn't happen often. I don't know how many there were in the regular season. You could take all 1,500 games. There's not a lot.
Good point.
You know, and yes, a couple of the head hits, but you go back from, you know, again, you could go back those 8 years, 2011. I bet there was some serious head hits in the 2011 penalty or Stanley Cup final, Stanley Cup playoffs, mm-hmm. where guys were getting smoked like Johansson did mm-hmm. or like Sundqvist did to Grizzlick. That happened a lot back in the day, and it's just a different climate now in the NHL where we expect that to be a five-minute major, but it's still hard to call that.
Yeah. It's not going to be penalty-free, though. Like, it can't be that, but
I've only seen that one game. I'm sure there have been other penalty-free games.
I mean, maybe the third period will be penalty-free, and that's not how you're supposed to call it, but I wouldn't be surprised if they're like, all right, we sort of set it up here, and if it's a close game third period, they're going to try to stay out of the way.
Yeah, they want to stay out of the way. Yeah, that's what these guys, like, you know, I know you've talked about it, Dale. If you don't notice them, that's when that's their job.
Yeah, I mean, if I don't even think about them,
yes.
Even though I didn't agree with every call in game six, at the end of the game, I went, you know what, they were fine. They were fine. Today, Bruce Cassidy met with the media prior to Game 7 and was asked about his legacy going into this game.
So I haven't thought about mine personally. I just want my name in the damn cup. That's what I want. And then you can talk about it however you want later on.
He's the man.
Yeah.
He really is.
He's so good.
I love listening to him after games. Like, win or lose, he is always the guy you want to search out post-game just to see what he says. He's so honest to you. But that also sounds like a guy who couldn't be more focused. He's not worried about his legacy right now. Of course he's not.
No. None of these guys are worried about their legacy. They want to be able to have their name. It is, you know, it's a cliche, but it really is the most important thing to all players on the ice tonight is, one, they have their name on the cup for eternity. You know, they get to go back to the Hall of Fame when they're 60 years old with their grandkids and be able to go and show them their name on the Stanley Cup, which is the coolest thing in the world. And secondly, they want their 2 days with the cup. You know, that's the payoff, is to be able to bring that thing back to your hometown or whatever you do with it. To have those 2 days is certainly the most special part of winning the Stanley Cup.
Mm-hmm. You're in the barn tonight?
I am in the barn. I'm going to be up on the ninth floor with the alumni. So I lucked out
They'll be crazy in there.
Yeah, it'll be nuts. The keg will be...
Will anybody be like Brett Hull? That's the question. That guy, holy smokes.
Yeah.
If he's there, look out. That guy has a time.
I've been on the golf course with Brett a few times in Dallas.
And How does that go?
you saw it.
I've seen it.
Yeah.
Greatest of all time! Let's go, Blue! Let's go, Blue!
Love him.
Awesome.
Holy smokes, does he get into it.
Speaking of drinking for 8-9 hours.
That might be
the best. Yeah.
Andrew, thanks for coming in.
Awesome.
I'll see you again soon.
Yeah.
We get right back to the calls with you guys. 617-779-7937. Dale and Keith, Sports Radio, WEEI.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.